Are you pressured by those around you to do what is wrong? This morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, I'm going to talk about peer pressure. It's so common to many, and we may find even in our own lives that we cave and cater to peer pressure. A peer is a person of equal standing, maybe someone of our own age or social circle, and they exert pressure on us, either directly or indirectly, to live our lives. Now, there can certainly be positive peer pressure, and that's the subject of another lesson. Christians who are living faithfully can exert positive peer pressure for good on others around them. They can be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. They can share God's word with others. So there can certainly be positive peer pressure, but this morning I want to focus on negative peer pressure, which is so common today in the world. And do you allow yourselves, friends, to be negatively pressured to do negative things? We're glad that you've joined us this morning for the Let the Bible Speak program, and I hope that our Bible study will be beneficial to all. I also wanted to take just a moment to let you know that on October the 24th through the 27th, we will be having a gospel meeting with Ross Conley. And he will be coming in for a series of lessons, encouraging us to listen carefully to the Word of God, be good hearers of the Word of God. And we would invite you to come for those series of gospel meetings and Bible lessons. I believe that you would benefit greatly from them. Our theme is Hear the Word of God, and is thy servant listening? We need to be good listeners of the Word of God. So Ross Conley from Auburn, Kentucky, October the 24th through the 27th at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ, meeting at 290 Warfield Boulevard. And if you would like to attend these gospel meetings and you have a transportation issue, please contact us. You can call us at the church building at 931-647-1324. That's 931-647-1324. We meet at 290 Warfield Boulevard. On Thursday, Friday, and Saturday evening, the lessons will be at 7 p.m. Sunday, 9:30 and 10:30 a.m. in the morning, 6 p.m. Sunday evening. Our lessons will be, Are You Listening? Number two, Take Heed What You Hear. Number three, Take Heed How You Hear. Number four, Understand What You Hear. Number five, Believing What You Hear. And last of all, Be Not a Hearer Only. And so come hear the Word of God proclaimed by Ross Conley of Auburn, Kentucky, October 24 through 27. The theme is, Thy Servant is Listening. You would be our honored guest. Please come be with us. Now, to the matter of peer pressure. Are you pressured by your friends and neighbors and family, or even a wider culture and society, to do what you shouldn't do? I believe today peer pressure is seen in a lot of different areas of one's life. Peer pressure is seen in the way people dress and talk. People are pressured to be dishonest, to be violent, to join a gang and hurt others and hurt themselves, to engage in sexual immorality, fornication, or adultery, to be focused on material possessions and money and things and sports and the material and, I guess you could say, entertainment way of life, alcohol, tobacco, drugs, disobedience, rebellion, condoning sin and error, using profanity. We could go on and on and on. People would normally not do one of these things, but they allow themselves to be pressured by others around them to do these things. So this morning I want to talk about peer pressure. We're going to do two things, friends, on the program. We're going to look at some Old and New Testament examples of peer pressure. Who are different individuals who gave into peer pressure? And then number two, we're going to look at Old and New Testament principles that God tells us to warn us and be mindful of the fact of peer pressure, the situation of peer pressure. So instructions are given to help us stay away from that kind of thing and to be mindful of that kind of thing. Let us not be influenced to be immoral. Let us not be influenced to be bitter and angry. Let us not be influenced to be corrupt in our speech, and let us not be influenced even in the matter of religion, where we are caving into peer pressure to settle for something less than the New Testament church. We might be pressured simply to be in a general religious man-made denomination, rather than going all the way and being a New Testament Christian that we read about in the New Testament. And even New Testament Christians can be influenced to engage in error or teach error or fall away or be a worldly Christian. And so let's talk a little bit this morning about peer pressure, a common phenomenon in the world today. Number one, let's look at some Bible examples of those who gave into peer pressure. Let's start in the Old Testament, and then we'll work our way to the New Testament. Who are some individuals that gave into peer pressure? Well, this is not certainly an exhaustive list, but these are some ones that come to my mind. In Genesis chapter 3, Adam gave into peer pressure from his own wife. Peer pressure can be close to home in our own spouse. Genesis 3, verse 6, when Eve was tempted of the devil, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and she gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Later in Genesis chapter 3, if you come on down to verse 17, when they're giving their excuses, God says unto Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and has eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee not, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, and so forth. You've listened to your wife. So Adam gave in to peer pressure. I think about Aaron and the golden calf. If you'll turn with me to Exodus chapter 32, while Moses is up in the mount getting the law down below, Aaron is allowing the people to party and carry on and engage in idolatry. And the people are going crazy, spiritually speaking. And Aaron allows himself to cave into their desires to make a golden calf. 32 verse 3, Aaron said unto them, break off the golden rings which are in the ears of the wives of the sons and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And he ended up making a golden calf out of that. And when you come down to verse 21, Moses said unto Aaron, What did this people unto you, that you have brought a great sin upon them? And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax or grow hot. You know the people, that they are set on evil. For they said unto me, make us gods which shall go up before us. For as this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we know not what has become of him. And I said unto them, whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it to me, and I cast it into the fire, and it came out this golden calf, like it made itself. No, this was what Aaron and the people had made, and he allowed himself to be pushed into that idolatry. And one of the Ten Commandments that Moses was getting from God was not to make idols. Don't allow yourself to be pushed and poked and prodded to do what is wrong, but Aaron allowed himself. the nation of Israel, a good part of them, if you'll turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 8, they were pressured by the nations around them. Sometimes when we think of peer pressure, we think of one person around us or maybe a few. Here's a case in which we allow the culture around us and the world around us, whatever they're doing. And so in 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 5, Israel comes to Samuel and says, "You are old and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Make us a king to judge us like all the nations." Excuse me. "Give us a king like all the nations." They say the same thing again in verse 20, "that we may be like all the nations." So they get their ideas from them. They get their desires from them. They get their priorities from them rather than focusing on what God wants. Israel gave in to peer pressure. Saul gave in to peer pressure. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, if you'll turn with me there, he was given a command by God to utterly destroy the Amalekites, and he had an army, and he could have physically done that, but he chose not to do that. He was disobedient. They went out and smote a number of the Amalekites. They spared Amalek, and they spared some of the physical things that they had gotten, and they disobeyed God in the outcome and in the end. And notice what Saul's excuse is for this. When they come back, Samuel meets them, and Samuel wants to know why he hears some animals. They're making noise. They were supposed to utterly destroy everything of the Amalekites, and when they come back, they're bringing some things with them. And so, 1 Samuel 15, verse 14, it's a great question. What does this mean then, the bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, "They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto Jehovah thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed." Then later in verse 24, Saul said to Samuel, "I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of Jehovah and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice." I listened to them. They wanted to keep some things. He was a king. He was to be a leader. He was to follow God's word. But no, he allowed himself to get pushed around by the people. And friends, I see it everywhere in the world, peer pressure. And a lot of times we think about peer pressure as teenagers and young people give in to peer pressure. Older people do as well. Samuel wasn't a teenager. Israel weren't teenagers. Aaron wasn't a teenager. Adam wasn't a teenager. Peer pressure comes to adults too. And maybe we don't think about that like we should. We always talk about the young people giving into peer pressure. Well, they do from time to time, but older adults do as well, men and women, adults. And so let's be mindful of that, and when we know what is right, stand for what is right. Rehoboam, another Old Testament example, if you'll turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 12, when he's getting advice on how to rule, he doesn't want to listen to the older, wiser individuals and making his rule over the kingdom of Israel. He wants to listen to those with whom he had grown up. And so in 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 6, King Rehoboam took counsel with the old men that had stood before Solomon, his father. "What is the counsel that you give?" And they gave him counsel. And then we find that he took counsel of those that were younger. Verse 10, "And the younger men that were grown up with him spake unto him and gave him counsel." And we know that Rehoboam listened to the counsel of the young men. Verse 13, "The king answered the people roughly and forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and spake to them after the counsel of the young men." And that counsel cause division in the kingdom. And so, we find that men and women can give in and cave in to peer pressure. Let's look at some New Testament examples. Turn with me to John chapter 12. The Jews that heard Jesus preaching and teaching, some of them believed him. They believed the truth. They were willing to accept the truth after many, many years of believing other things and a lot of things that were not in the law of Moses and man-made tradition. But look at what we find. John chapter 12, verse 42. John 12, 42. Nevertheless, even of the rulers, many believed on him, that is Jesus. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Why? John says, for they love the glory that is of men more than the glory that is of God. That's the same thing back in John chapter 9, when the parents of the blind man wouldn't confess Jesus. Same reason, they didn't want to be cast out of the synagogue. They love their social standing and their social circles. And look at that little word, but. They believed, but because of the rulers, because of the pressure put on them, because of the Pharisees, they did not confess it. Is there a but in your life and in my life where we will believe something that is right and true and in principle, but we go back on it? We don't follow it because we're pressured by others, individuals or situations or social circles or standings. Does that happen to us today, friend? Another example that comes to my mind is Pilate. In Luke chapter 23, Pilate confessed that Jesus was sinless and a righteous man. I find no fault in him. He said that more than once. Luke chapter 23, verse 23, even his own wife said, have nothing to do with this righteous man. And he himself found no fault in him. But what do we find toward the end of this sham trial or mock trial or three-ring circus trial? What do we find? Luke chapter 23, verse 23. But they, the Jews, were urgent with loud voices, asking that he might be crucified, and their voices prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that what they asked for should be done. And he released him that for insurrection and murder had been cast into prison, that's Barabbas, whom they asked for. But Jesus he delivered up to their will. The text says their voices prevailed. They just keep shouting it, keep shouting it, keep shouting it. And Pilate, who was a Roman governor, he should have been a leader. He should have been strong. He should have been a man of conviction and courage. Nope. He let the voices, the mob rule, the mob mentality, the shouting prevail. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 73, Matthew makes a comment about this very thing. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 73. What do we find? We find that Peter is another individual. Peter, during the trial of Jesus, Pilate was weak, and Peter is weak. Matthew 26:73. And after a little while, they that stood by came and said to Peter, of a truth, thou art one of them, for thy speech maketh thee known. Then he began to curse and swear, I know not the man. He's warming his hands by the fire. Different ones identify him. Luke 22, verse 54. They seized him and led him away and brought him into the high priest's house, but Peter followed from afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the court and had sat together, Peter sat in the midst of them. And a certain maid, seeing him as he set in the light of the fire and looking steadfastly said, this man was also with him, and he denied, saying, woman, I know him not. I don't know Jesus. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art one of them. But Peter said, man, I am not. And after a space of about 1 hour, another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this man also was with him, for he is a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And Matthew adds that he began to swear. I don't know Jesus. Giving in to the peer pressure of those around him. Later, Peter and Barnabas, if you'll turn with me to Galatians chapter 2, they were willing to associate, rightly so, with Gentile Christians. But when some Jews showed up, they acted like they didn't know these Gentile Christians. They acted like they didn't want to be around them. And so in Galatians 2, verse 12, they ate with Gentiles, but when they came, some Jews, they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing them that were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that even Barnabas was carried away with their dissimulation, and one version says, their hypocrisy. Peter and Barnabas were hypocritical. They acted like they wanted to be with Gentiles, but when some Jews showed up, they acted like they didn't know them. That's hypocritical. And it's being pressured to be that way by the Jews who showed up. Peer pressure. And this is not Peter the fisherman. This is Peter the apostle. He'd been with Jesus. He had known better. And he'd even learned from his denial of Jesus what that's all about. But he slips back into that later in his life. And so we can be strong, and then we can slip back into peer pressure if we're not careful. It's very great. And notice the words, even Barnabas. Look at that little word, even. Even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. Don't be fooled in thinking, oh, I would never give in to peer pressure. That's not me. Well, be careful. Even you can, friend. Even I can. Even. Look at that little word. So we need to be careful about that. And always stand for truth. So, Old and New Testament individuals who gave into peer pressure. Now, let's look briefly before we close at some principles that are given. In the Old Testament, let's start there. The principle of not following a multitude to do evil in Exodus chapter 23 and verse 1. Thou shalt not take up a false report. Put not thy hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do either. Neither thou shalt speak in a cause to turn aside after a multitude to wrest or twist justice. Neither shalt thou favor a poor man in his cause. Speaking to the judges. Don't be pressured into false judgment, siding with a group. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 29. Deuteronomy 12, 29. The warning of evil influence. There are several passages in the Law of Moses that talk about not marrying someone of the land because they can influence you to engage in idolatry. But Deuteronomy 12, verse 29, when Jehovah thy God shall cut off the nations from before you, whether you go in to possess them and thou dispossess them and dwell in their land, take heed to thyself that you be not ensnared to follow them after that they are destroyed from before thee, and that you inquire not after their gods, saying, how do these nations serve their gods? Even so I will do likewise. Thou shalt not do so unto Jehovah thy God, for every abomination to Jehovah, which he hateth, have they done unto their gods. For even their sons and their daughters do they burn in the fire to their gods. And that's exactly what some of the Israelites did later. They burned their children to false gods because they were influenced to do that by these nations around them. And in 2 Kings 17, starting in verse 7, the nation of Israel that went away into Assyrian captivity, that warning that God gave all the way back in Deuteronomy 12 and other places, that warning is fulfilled. Israel had gone after these other nations, and now they're going to be punished for it. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Avoid evil. Do not walk and stand and sit in the way of sinners. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 10. If sinners entice thee, consent thou not. There's various proverbs that talk about avoiding the wicked woman in the evil way. It's applied to adultery in Proverbs 5 and Proverbs 6 and 7 and 9. It's applied to an angry person in Proverbs 22, 24 through 25. Stay away from people that can influence you. So the Proverbs are full of that. Look at Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20. Just the general principle of not being influenced to do evil. Walk with wise men and thou shalt be wise, but the companion of fools shall smart or be broken for it. You're going to hurt, friend, if you allow yourself to be influenced by others to do what is wrong. Proverbs 23 and verse 17, let not thy heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of Jehovah all the day long. So, this general principle. Look at chapter Proverbs 24, 1. Be not envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them, for their heart studies oppression and their lips talk of mischief. Stay away from that influence. And then when we come to the New Testament, we find, for example, Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We have 1 Corinthians 15, verse 32, evil companionships corrupt good morals. We have 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through chapter 7 and verse 1. Come out and be separate, says the Lord. Come out from unrighteousness and ungodliness. Be holy, be set apart. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 22. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 22. Lay not hastily your hands on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. Don't let other people influence you to sin, to do what they're doing. Stay away from that. Be pure. And then last of all, 1 Peter 4, 1 through 4. The world around you thinks that you're strange when you don't run with them to the same excess of riot. But let it be so. It doesn't matter what the world thinks. We're not going to do what they're going to do. Peter says, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them into the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. They're going to poke fun of you and say bad things, but don't give in. Don't be pressured to do what is wrong. Always stand for what is right in the Word of God. Don't let people pressure you. Let the power of God's Word pressure you to live daily according to His will. And if we can help you to do that, why don't you contact us where we can study and worship together and learn how to live right in the sight of God. Thank you for joining us this morning, and we hope that you'll have a good day.